Let me tell you a little bit about our speaker today, Associate Professor of World Missions and Intercultural Studies, Dr. Rodney Orr, has his formative years in Ethiopia and Germany. And he served with CRU, which is Campus Crusade for Christ, for 34 years, 17 of which were overseas. He holds degrees from Purdue University, Dallas Theological Seminary, and University of Edinburgh. Dr. Orr taught at the Nairobi International School of Theology in Kenya, and serving as executive director, helped build Africa Leadership and Management Academy. That's the ALMA, a graduate school in Zimbabwe. And while stateside, his ministry focused on Yale University and United Nations diplomats in New York City. And Dr. Orr and his wife, Cortina, have a son and a daughter who joined him in climbing Mount Kilimanjaro. Is that good pronunciation? Wow, thank you. That was back in 2006. So join me in welcoming Dr. Rodney Orr.
Thanks, Jeffrey. Okay. Wow, it's really great to be here with you. I've been looking forward to this opportunity, and this is the end of my first year of seminary. I graduated in 1990. We went to Kenya, Zimbabwe. I don't know if you noticed in the news, the elections were this week, and Mugabe won another 4 or 5 years of presidency at 89. But it's great to come to the end of my first year here at seminary, and there's just one question that I just haven't been able to get an answer from this year. And that is, why did God choose to take Dr. Steve Strauss home to be with him? He's only 3 months older than me, and we were going to work together for the next 15 years. And I didn't get an answer. Nothing came through. But this passage that I'm going to share with you, the educating power of God's grace, is what God did to me to bring some healing, some restoration in my own walk with Him as I struggled with these questions. You know, you probably don't think that seminary professors struggle with anything, but these are questions that we all face, and none of us gets passes on it just for coming to class. You know, we've got to actually deliver. So turn with me to Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 15, and I'm calling this the educating power of grace. You know, we understand the grace of God as being God's riches at Christ's expense, what He's done for us that we couldn't do for ourselves. And yet it continues on, because we are helpless and hopeless without Him, walking with Him day by day. And I just want to share with you three things that I think can help you help that helped me, that comforted me in the midst of my own grief in the loss of my friend, my boss, my coworker. And they're simply this: you must receive it. In verse 1, it says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all people." I mean, I could spend an hour just talking to you about the extent of the atonement from this verse, and why I believe that God's atonement is for everyone. But I don't have time for that. I've got to look at this from a perspective of the first step in understanding God's grace is to receive it, is to come to know Him in a personal way. You're probably wondering why I have this bracelet on. And I've been last week at Schofield Memorial Church, and they had an outreach, and I got to go out witnessing in the community. And it was great. Oh, it was just wonderful to be out there sharing your faith and talking to people. And people were asking us, how come you Christians don't do this more? You've got the truth. You've got the answer. And so they gave me this little bracelet, and I'm preparing this message on Saturday, and my little six-year-old nephew comes up and says, "Hey, Uncle Rodney, how come you're wearing a bracelet? You know, you're a grown man." And I said, this is a very special bracelet. I want you to understand that each one of these beads has an important message for you. You know, you come and sit down. I'm going to explain this to you. And I went through each of buttons here, and the clear one is the best. That's where you give a clear opportunity to receive Christ. So I asked my six-year-old nephew, would you like to receive Christ? And he said, yeah, I would. I said, well, let's pray, you know, and he prayed after me and invited Christ into his life, and it was so wonderful. He ran over to my wife and said, I just invited God into my life. Now, some people might say, who are you to tell a six-year-old that he can accept Christ? And my question is, who are you to tell him he can't? You know, God can use anyone. And so the first thing I want you to understand is that the grace of God, the instructing power of grace, it has to be received. But then secondly, in verse 12, it trains us to reject godless ways and worldly desires and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age as we wait for the happy fulfillment of our hope in the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. In other words, once you receive it, it starts to instruct you immediately. Let me give you an example of how this works. I got a speeding ticket. I was going 31 in a 25 mile an hour zone. And I was arguing with the police officer. And I said, I don't think I was going that fast. And she said, well, let's test my speed gun, you know, and it was working perfectly. And I just kept arguing, and I just didn't want that ticket. And finally, she said to me, you don't want this ticket, do you? And I said, no, I don't. And she said, well, I tell you what. You meet me in this bar down the street, and we'll discuss this ticket. And the grace of God just, whoom. And it said, live godly. And I said, give me the ticket. I deserve that ticket. I want that ticket now. And it changed my whole outlook because I realized that the grace of God says to me, I must live godly. He created me as his child to do what Jesus would do. And that's why I'm wearing this, because it reminds me. You see, we are kind of fickle as people. We forget so quickly. That's why a lot of your courses here at Dallas Seminary, you actually see repetition. You see in the scriptures the same message, sometimes presented in 100 different ways. It's because we forget, and we need to be reminded of God's goodness and his grace. But then the third thing I want you to see here is in verse 15. So communicate these things with the sort of exhortation or rebuke that carries full authority. Don't let anyone look down on you. Your age doesn't give you a pass. Being a seminary professor doesn't give you a pass. Being in seminary doesn't give you a pass. We are all responsible to allow the grace of God to flow in and through us to such a degree that we want to communicate it. I see this as the greatest motivator for ministry, is to allow the grace of God to so fill you and direct you that you can't help. You can't help but share this message with somebody else. While I was preparing this message, my little nephew accepts Christ, and the sprinkler guy comes, and he's fixing our sprinklers. And I said to him, hey, you know, I was just talking to my nephew, and he's 6 years old, and he just accepted Christ. What do you think of that? And he said, huh. That's really something. I said, well, what about you? You know? Look at all this water. What keeps you from being baptized? I didn't really say that. But the point is that the sprinkler guy, he tells me a story. He says, I met God in Florida during a hurricane. When we went down to Florida to help those guys dig out of a hurricane that had wiped out all their neighborhoods, and we wanted to do was help them clean trees, and we couldn't find work. And so we decided to come back to Texas, and so before we came, we decided we're going to pray and ask God to help us. And the next day, some guy said, you know, I'm being charged $16,000 to clear these trees out of my property. What can you do it for? And he said, eight. And they did. They never left that street the rest of the summer. They were cleaning trees. And he said, that's where I met God. That's where his grace began to, I began to see it. And that's how my business has survived for 25 years. He goes back to that point where God met him in a special way. Well, I want to challenge you today that I believe God wants to meet us. We don't get passes on this. This is a lifelong learning experience. To understand his grace by receiving it, to understand it by living it and make choices. Did you know we make 200 choices every day, the average person? Some of the choices are, do I brush my teeth or not? But some of the choices have ethical and moral implications. And the grace of God has to inform us. You know, the world is saying that, you don't have to make choices because there is no right or wrong. Boy, nothing else could be further from the truth. Let me just read you this in closing. A holy people, this is a summary of this whole passage. A holy people was his purpose in paying such a fearful price. Therefore, knowing what he has done and why he has done it, a Christian who truly loves Christ and looks forward to his return will pay any price to bring his life into conformity with his beloved Lord's will, lest he be disappointed in him when he returns. Conversely, ungodly living in a Christian is a clear sign that either he does not fully understand these things or he does not actually believe them. We need to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.